This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Yes, a third. It's a third of the essential structures in Islam. The third. Charity.
And so my question is, especially sort of in modern day where charity can be considered in many ways,
my hearing is not as good as
I'm wondering in this day and age, charity might have different meanings. Are there any rules or expectations of a Muslim regarding the charity? Mm-hmm. Let's speak about the concept of charity.
Yes, I actually believe charity is the most important of the pillars except for one God. And I believe after you're in the spirit of God, once you're in, the next thing you should be in the spirit of giving charity. It's the third pillar, and Jews, their requirement for congregational worship, 10 persons. Ten persons.
They have to have 10.
Yeah, that's right, to do worship. Right. We only need 3. So two, if it's only 3, 2 men stand together, or 2 persons stand together, and one leading. So it's a triangle, and the apex, and the one that's leading is in the apex, the 2 in the base. So if you look at that, it looks like an L, there's an L here. Right. And I think that this is what you're pointed to give charity, to have compassion on all things, and especially on humanity, and to be and trying to give and charity. So I would like to tell Bush right now that in our religion, you're not supposed to give so much charity and extend, as Prophet Muhammad said, you extend your hand out so far that you leave yourself dependent on others. Mm-hmm. And we just borrowed a lot of money from China, wasn't it?
Yes, we do.
I think politics and religion and China, they all go together very well.
Good. That's good. That's a theme in our classes is how things are interconnected. So for charity, what kinds of charitable activities would a Muslim engage in? What does that mean in practical terms in life?
Well, firstly, our book says, thanks for Krishna. Family has first rights in the book of God. That's a quote. So your first obligation is to take care of yourself and your family. That's your first obligation. But you should extend your hand out to your neighbor. And our prophet said that God pressed upon him so much in regards to how he should live with his neighbor. He said that I start to think maybe my neighbor might inherit me. That's the saying of the prophet, you know. So the charity should start at home, and what you say, spread abroad, isn't that right? Love, charity, whatever. Starts at home and spread abroad. The same for us. And it should extend to the farthest distances on this planet Earth. If we know anybody that's suffering, if we can't help do something physically, we should at least bear that on our hearts.
So charity not only within the Muslim community, but outside. Charity to everybody.
Outside. Regardless of religion, race, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions about Islam?
I'm not a little louder. My hearing is not the best.
But can you
I'm missing some of the words.
Who are the other, besides Muhammad, who are the other important figures in Islam? In Christianity, there is Jesus, but also Paul and
Peter.
Clearly, besides Muhammad, who are the other important figures of Islam?
All the prophets of the Bible. I can't think of the one.
Abraham?
Yes,
Abraham.
I can't think of one that would be excluded.
I see.
All the prophets of the Bible and Prophet Muhammad and others that we, I give you the exact words so I don't put my thinking out there and run away. talking about our holy book says, and there are those that are not named in the book. Their names are not even in the Quran. So we have to then, Prophet Muhammad is taught to be rational, so we have to then conclude that the prophets that were not put, their names are not in scripture, in holy books.
I've often heard that in Islam, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, figures prominently in the Quran. I think for many Christians, that's a complete, they don't know that. They're not aware of it. What is the role of Mary? Mm-hmm. If you could explain that a little bit and interpret. Because how many of you know that Mary's mother of Jesus shows up in the Bible or in the Quran? In the Bible? A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
If you could comment on that a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Our holy book, I'll tell you this. I'll come from a story. The prophet was persecuted, as you know, in his own land, especially in his own hometown where he was born, Mecca. And at one point, they were boycotted, and times were very hard. In fact, his wife, his first wife and only wife at the time, she died because the condition was so bad. And he told a group of his followers, he said, go to Ethiopia. They call it Habesh, the land of the Habeshi, they say, but it's Ethiopia. Go to Ethiopia, and you will find there a good-hearted ruler. Tell him your story, and he will take you in. Prophet told me. They went there, and when they got an audience with the ruler, the least educated, this is the Hadith, the story, the least educated among them, but the one they chose to read from the Quran, the chapter of Maryam, Mary, peace be on her. And so he did. And when he read it, he read nothing but that. That was just on her, the person, Mary. And when the ruler heard it, he said, I have no problem with you. And already some Meccans were hot on their heel on the trail behind them. So they were already there demanding that we take these people back to our country where they belong and they have to be punished. So the ruler said, I find no problem with them and I refuse to let them be taken by you. And what was said, I think, that impressed the ruler most, the Christian ruler the most, was the belief that Mary was a pure woman, and that her child was born of the Holy Spirit. Her child was born of the Holy Spirit, and she had not been touched by a man. So we believe the same. We believe there's no difference there, you know. For us, it's the same. So when we say peace be on Jesus Christ, we say peace be on his mother also.
And Jesus also figures prominently in the Quran as well.
That's it?
Yes.
Certainly. Yes. Our book says, similar to what the Bible says, he is the same as what the Bible says. It says Christ Jesus and Messiah. Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the same as Messiah for us in language. You know, Christos is a little different than Messiah. But for us, we don't call it Christos. We call Jesus Christ the Messiah. After David, Messiah. David. We say we believe in Jesus Christ. And if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, it can't be a Muslim.
Is that a surprise to generally that's when
yeah.
to do that?
And we have to believe that he was a word and a spirit from God. Same with Christianity. He was a word and a spirit from God.
Very useful. Now, as we go through and ask other questions and get into other areas, please feel free to ask questions. You like the questions from the students. So
I might have ran out already, but you're welcome.
Let's put asking them on here. Okay, religion implies a faith community, not just isolated individuals. Please discuss your faith community, the mosque cares. It's the one that I'm familiar with, its history and what's going on currently. what kinds of activities, people, and messages would we find there if we came? And also, I'm interested in the partners for the mosque here. Who are its partners, both in the community and in the broader world? So if you could give us a little history of the organization, what it does now as well, and talk about the partners. Who do you partner with?
Yes. Well, the mosque here, also called Rebellion Ministry, legally, but we like the expression the mosque here, we changed it. We added, pardon me, the language the mosque here, about 5 years or so ago. It came into existence really of necessity. I was one who became the leader after the passing of my father, Elijah Muhammad, who established the Nation of Islam over a period of about 41 or 43 years. And he passed, when he passed, I became the leader. And when I became the leader, I'm not the, of the same makeup as my father. He's a tough man. My father was a very tough man. He accepted a lot of responsibility, you know. He carried a lot of responsibility on him, and that's not in my nature. So I had to leave the order of the Nation of Islam, put it behind me. And I did away with it. I dismantled it. The unit for the rhythm and the unit for the men, FOI, I dismantled everything. I didn't call it dismantling. I would have said I just saw it didn't fit anymore. And time was out for that kind of organization, you know. When we were discriminated against and segregated and put in the back and nobody was coming forward to speak for us, it justifies that kind of organization, I think. I would have done it differently. With my knowledge I came from Islam, I would have done it differently. I wouldn't have done it if it was the same thing that from outside America did. But I have to respect what he did, and I have to respect the circumstances that we were living in. So I feel it was justified. So I changed. I left all that. When I left all that, I relieved the burden, took a lot of burden off me. I said, look, it has to be natural. It has to be the way it is for religion. I said, if you want to be a religion, and then they got people regimenting them. I said, that's not to me. That's not religion. I said, so what you're going to have now is every imam who has a congregation has to be responsible for his own congregation directly, not through me. He can't come through me and say, Imam Muhammad did this. Imam Muhammad audited it. So you can't say that anymore. Every place is autonomous. And your congregation is responsible to you, and you're responsible to your congregation. That's what established my office.
How long ago, you're talking about things that have happened in the past. How long ago did all of that happen? You're saying about 40 years ago? Or is this all kind of over time?
In 19, all this happened in the mid-80s. So, about the mid-80s.
Years ago or a little longer.
How longer, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, once it was changed, then I concentrated more on religion. More on making sure that our members remember temple schools, we got our own private school system too, that all of them were getting the religion correctly from our holy book. And the one who gave us the Nation of Islam also pointed to our holy book, and that's the only picture we have of them is him holding the Bible, our Bible, the Quran, like this. And it seemed to be focused very piously on it. And that picture was given to us to test us here and here. And to say, this is where I am. I hope you'll get there one day, you know. Even though I put you in a maze.
Nowadays, could you describe what goes on at your temple
Yeah.
What kinds of activities?
Yeah. Well, you know, we changed the word temple so that we would be in the same language as all Muslims. So we don't call them temples anymore. When I became the leader, we changed from temple. And my father told me he was informed by a Palestinian to change the temples to mosques, the Muslim mosques, the Muslim. But he had some problem with his own following, and he actually and bad behavior, a kind of corruption was coming into this organization before my father passed, like maybe about 5 or 6 or 7 years before he passed. So he was addressing this one day, and he was addressing it at his location, mosque, in Chicago. And he said, we're going back to calling the temple, you all are not, you're not really clean, you're not clean enough to be clean in the mosque. So he went back to calling the temple, went back to temple. So when I came in, it was a change, and never will we go back to any change, to the temple, to the language temple. It's the mosque. We have to be in the same picture with all Muslims of the world, you know. Mm-hmm. But you first have to have it in your heart and mind too. So we work on that, and that's where we are. And the U.S. also, what is our, do we have a relationship with others?
With other organizations,
other religions. Mm-hmm. We do. And we, our charity goes to Salvation Army, and we really take that, Red Cross. Mm-hmm. We give a lot of charity. For our little money, we give a lot of charity. I'm not saying that all Muslims do that, but I think that different routes than they do.
And he has been for many years working.
Yes, yes, but we also encourage interfaith interaction and interfaith dialogue, but also interfaith activities. So we participate with others in doing some good.
Could you give us some examples of some of the interfaith dialogue and activities?
Well, we have for a long time been friends and brothers and sisters in humanity with a group called the Folklore. It's an international movement called the Folklore. It started by a Catholic girl. I think she was 17 years old, and bombs were falling in World War II all around. And it really saddened her so deeply that Christians were actually bombing Christians. Decided to devote herself to promoting the principle, disseminating, not just promoting, the principle of Jesus Christ's first commandment that he gave his followers, that you love one another. So she started a movement just on that principle of Christ, love one another. And she invited anybody who wanted to come in, not just Catholics. And I was with them Israel, in Israel. And I met a Muslim who belonged to that movement. He came up to me and said, "Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum." I said, "Imam Muhammad, you know the Imam." And he told me he was a different variety, and he wouldn't have to explain anything to me because I had spoke about our relationship with the Folk Party just before he came to me. He came at the end of my speech. And so he knew that I also considered myself like a member of the Folk Party movement. Because Prophet Muhammad, our prophet, he said, "You'll never get into heaven until you have faith, and you will never have faith until you practice loving one another." So he came in the line of the prophets. He came in the line of the prophets. He didn't reject what was already established as a spirit, you know, from before him. And he said, "I come as one in the line of prophets who succeed each other." And he said, and there was a building they were building. And one block was left to put in that building. He said, "And I am that one who put the last block in that building." And I think that he meant to make it universal.
I understand, yes.
Yes.
Now, some of the students may be familiar also with Nation of Islam. You've mentioned that as well. Can you explain the differences of Nation of Islam and what you do in your faith community?
Uh-huh.
How is it different?
Yes, yes. Well, I believe that the teacher who brought my father and parents to Islam, to call themselves Muslims and identifying with Islam, because we weren't given Islam. I believe that we were being trained, as my father would say. He said, we are practicing to be Muslims. That's what he said. practicing. And he didn't chew up a lot of things he said. He left it with us.
How is Nation of Islam?
That's a big and difficult question.
Very difficult, yes.
Oh, yes. All I can say is, Mr. Farrar came in Detroit in 1936, July 4th, which is significant, July 4th. I believe he came at a time that permitted him to put a lot of stuff together that was already in existence. But one, the thing that bothered me the most was not that he called white people rebels. But my mother had showed me so much of the stuff that white people had done to our people. So I didn't have any problem with that. But what I had a problem was with him telling us that Christianity is wrong. And telling us that our God, Mr. Farrar, came in flesh. That he came, there was God in the flesh, and in the person of Mr. Farrar, his teacher. So that bothered me. I couldn't understand that, because he's saying that Christians are wrong, but why are we doing the same thing, you know? So it's a lot of big differences. And another thing that bothered me, I'm answering your question, but I'm answering from my situation that I was in. Another thing that bothered me, that we were told that the black man is God. And we were told that none of our women believed that. They wouldn't confess it, even if they were taught it, I don't think. But they didn't believe it. That the black man is God, he's all righteous. He's all righteous, you know? But he made a devil. He made the white man. The white man is a grafted people out of black people. Some black scientists by the name of Yaqub Jacob, found a way to graft a white person out of black people. I guess there's a little support for it because black people can have an albino. And white people can too. So there's a big difference between the child that I don't know, the black man. So that's a typical black man, you know, and an albino from a white person. These are things that distinguish, sharply distinguish. In fact, not close to Islam at all. Jews and Christians are much closer to real Islam than this stuff that I'm talking about right now that bothered us. It was done intentionally to make us one day feel cured of a need for an identity, you know. Slavery put us in a situation that left us without a comparable identity. And our people, Christians, and then the Muslims, not only of Farrar's following, my father's following, but also, you know, the Moorish Science Temple.
Yes.
Noor Dhu Ali. You're
talking about the Moorish Science Temple?
Yes. Noor Dhu Ali. He did something kind of very similar. And he did it before Farrar. So actually Farrar was taken from everywhere. Also, there was a black man, black preacher, Father Divine.
Father Divine movement.
Yes, the movement. Yes. He taught his following that it should see Jesus Christ in a black man, a black person. Not change from believing in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, but not to see him as a white person, see him as a black person. And he called himself Father Divine. That was hinting that you understand. And yeah, so these are the things that sharply differ from what the Quran, what Islam really is. So I never could understand how we could believe that the black man is righteous and can't do wrong, and he made a devil.
which is why I hope you're following this discussion. It's actually very fascinating with the sort of racial division and how that plays out in Islam.
Yes, that's a response to the white supremacy, really. Mm-hmm. The teachings of this, and I'm sharing with you now, it's a response to white supremacy. Actually, I believe Mr. Farag was more interested in shock effect. Shocking the white world, shocking his following, shocking him to think back and think deep, you know. Because as Obama, well, I don't think he hit it. I think he made it clear that if we want to understand race and racism, we need to go back to his roots. And his roots is not that on the plantation long before that.
Mm-hmm. Any questions you have about this area? I know sometimes it's difficult for many of us, you know, white, middle-class, suburban people are often afraid to talk about race and shy in that regard, but this is very fascinating. Do you have any questions in this line?
Someone wants to hand, raise their hand over here.
I'm very narrow in the nation of Islam, but Islam as a religion in all in America. During this time, how many people have converted to Islam sincerely as opposed to how many converted simply to have an identity?
Up to the turbulence of the 60s, the civil rights demonstrations and the brutality from the police and all that, we attracted members of the church who were dissatisfied with their life in America, thought they could not have hope for a time in America when they would be accepted and treated like all other citizens or given the full rights of citizenship in the country. Those persons were attracted from Christian public, I won't say from the church, but from Christian public, and some very devoted Christians from the Christian church, then in John 2. But after the 60s, or during the 60s, that changed. And what we were attracting was militants from Christian, from the Christians. Militants who also were dissatisfied and bitter. We attracted them, and mostly young men. But before that time, I would say almost 100% of the people that joined, they joined because they already believed in God, and they were coming because they thought that this is a community I would like to belong to. I'd like to be a member of this community because of its emphasis on the dignity of black people in itself. And actually doing some material to change our condition in the neighborhood. Yeah. So they were attracted to that before. But after that, as I said, it was mostly for people. Black boss, black dog, black is the best, black is superior. To be seen in the public. But at that time, you know, the time was on civil rights problems for the civil rights movement. When they learned about the extremists that are in the Islam on the rise of Elijah Muhammad, black Muslims, as you call, shared Dr. Lincoln, if you know him. He wrote a big book about Muslims, you know, and popularized us as black Muslims. So the attention that was given to black Muslims, brothers of the FOI, they were just living for that, hoping that one day they'd be on TV.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708 978-798-6750. All right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.